Blog Talk Radio.
Pilikisha, and I am broadcasting live from Bonn, Germany. Thank you so much for tuning into Diaspora Truth. We appreciate you joining us week after week as we try and bring exciting stories from all over the world of Zambians and young Africans doing great things in the world. So today I would like to introduce an Afro jazz artist who is Zambian that is residing here in Germany. And that's what makes me even more excited, because it's not every day that I get to have a Zambian on my show that is living in Germany. So everybody, I would like to introduce Yvonne Mwale to you. Yvonne, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi. So I'm really, really excited to have you on the show, as I've said, because I don't get to have a lot of Zambians that are living in Germany on the show. I had a young man called Eric the other week, and he's working on in an organization called Fortuna for Zambia, and they send, you know, football kids to Zambia. But now I have a Zambian artist that's living in the same country as I'm living in. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's so exciting, yeah.
Welcome to the show. And I would just like to, you know, let the world know, and everybody that listens to Zambia Blog Talk Radio, them know about you. So who is Yvonne Mwale, and what is she doing here in Germany?
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, I want to thank you for interviewing me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a young musician. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Zambia. Of course, I come from the eastern part of Zambia. Mm-hmm. And I'm 24. Mm-hmm. Now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was born in Zambia, and I grew up from there, and I'm Senga by tribe.
Mm-hmm. Were you born in Lusaka?
I was born in Petauke.
Ah, okay. So all those people from the east that are listening are rejoicing with you right now.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so you grew up in Zambia, you went to school there.
Yeah, I went to school there, though I didn't complete my education, yeah, mm-hmm. because we had some family problems, and after I lost my parents, everything seemed to change, you know, mm-hmm. life became more harder and harder, so I was somehow left alone, and of course, I was always fighting, trying to get somewhere, especially with my music career, and I was trying to find ways how I can be able to just push myself up there and getting connected to the people, especially the musical people in the world, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was hard in the beginning, but of course I met good people like Sir Jones and the other people. Just there in Zambia, they are good musicians also, especially in Lusaka. Mm-hmm. These are the people who helped me mm-hmm. to even improve, like to improve on my skills, and also my music became more mature. I worked with them, and
okay.
this time they had the band called Bishop, so they helped me. We used to do covers with them, mm-hmm. and that's me.
Okay. I'm really interested to hear about your history, because I think with a lot of people, especially a lot of young Zambians that might look, you know, go on your website or see your videos on YouTube, their first assumption is that, you know, that it's been easy for you and you've just become this great singer from nowhere. And after reading your biography on your website, which is YvonneWale.com, for all those that are listening, if you'd like to know more about her, the website is www.YvonneWale.com. After reading the biography part of it, you know, it really touched my heart, and I was very, very proud of you reading about all the stuff that you had been through, but you still, you know, survived through that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So, I mean, you mentioned that you lost both your parents, and then then you went through all this hard time. Did you always know that you could sing, or was it something that you discovered during this hard time that you went through?
Singing has been part of me since, I think, I started singing when I was five. From my child, like when I was five, I started singing, and mostly I used to sing in church.
Mm-hmm.
Even at school, I never paid too much attention to education. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. So I just grew up like singing. I started singing in school, even in church. So it was all about music. I used to sing like covers. I would even try to imitate like the late musicians like Brenda Fast. So I even got inspired.
Mm-hmm.
I used to like Brenda Fast, and also I used to listen to Miriam Makeba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the musicians I really loved. And every time when I wake up, I used to say this to myself, I really want to become like these people one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can sing, I have the voice, that's what people used to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my mom used to encourage me, I know you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was also an artist, she used to dance, not too much singing, but she was too much into dancing. So she used to encourage me, you know, advising me, when you grow up, you know, you just have to feel free, just feel free to go for your dreams, you know, just sing whenever you feel like, just sing, so nobody can stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's how I started singing.
Okay,
yeah.
And then when you were in Zambia, did you, I mean, you talked about singing with B-Sharp and, you know, all these other bands. Was it easy for you to find places to sing in, say, Lusaka, where you could show your talents, or was that also hard for you to do?
It was hard because I was moving from Eastern Province.
Mm-hmm.
To Lusaka, going to the city
mm-hmm.
in Lusaka. Where I was staying there in Eastern Province, it's a small city, so I had to move from Chipata to go to the capital city of Lusaka, of Zambia. So there it wasn't easy because I was alone, and my life was always about fighting and struggling. I had no shelter. You know, I had no job, no money, nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was always running around on the street trying to find ways how I can survive. And I was somebody who wasn't even ashamed to say, hey, I need to survive. Why can't I do a small thing like a piecework whereby I have to go to other people's houses?
Mm-hmm.
I ask them, can I do this? Maybe piecework, can I do the laundry, like washing for them? You know how it is in Africa, you wash for them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't use the washing machines, but you can wash with your hands.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, they pay you maybe something like €5 or €3, then you survive. It wasn't very easy. So, yeah, from moving around, accidental, of course, I met some people at a certain place. It's called Lusaka Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's an arts place. That's where a lot of musicians are meeting there, and different bands. They do a lot of art activities there. So I just accidentally met some friends, like women, you know, and I was actually looking for a job on this day, and I could hear that they're doing a lot of music stuff at this place. So one of them, she advised me to meet one man, the same man who's called Uncle John.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me, you know, he's a good man and you can join the band. And I was like, yeah, I would love to. I really want to sing. I know life isn't easy for me. Things are not so easy. And this time, of course, I had a child with me. It wasn't very easy. And I had to meet him, and of course they did some like small auditions, and they somehow liked me.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, of course, I was very, very young, even with my thinking, everything was so fresh. I didn't understand how it works, how to sing live, you know, how to work with the band. I was always singing a cappella, and I enjoyed this, but I didn't know how it works with the live band, and there was so much missing, you know. I didn't know all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to say I really thank God, because God, he really directed me to go to the right people,
mm-hmm.
you know, even mm-hmm. if I struggled, but I managed to meet the right people, the same right people who had to teach me, you know, how mm-hmm. to do this music properly in a matured mm-hmm. way.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, of course, this time I didn't even have my identity of my music, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what kind of music I would do, but I was into, like, everything. Maybe we would do maybe R&B or, you know, soul, you know,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the discos, things like this. So
mm-hmm.
I wasn't even sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, people, they used to listen to me, and they liked me, they supported me. And they were advising me, you know, you have a lot, you can do a lot with your voice. So what you just need is just to know what you want. And, you know, you can even start. I know composing songs is not difficult for me, because sometimes I used to just come up with few words. I just make up a small story, then I start singing, like freestyling, you know.
Okay.
So they started advising me, you can do more. Of course, your voice, you have a nice voice, but you need to work, you need to work more to just improve. Let it sound more matured. And,
okay.
You know, so, yeah, okay. They helped me. Yeah, so from there, we went somewhere. We reached somewhere, and I didn't know that even people out there, they could even vote for me to get the Ngoma Award, you know.
Right, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
You had, you know, some sort of recognition. I mean, you said on your website that you had also gotten some awards in the Ngoma Awards. And for all those that are listening, the Ngoma Awards are the Zambian, I would say, like, awards for music and
exactly.
artistry and things like that. So people listened to you, and you were nominated for, was it Best Upcoming Female Artist with the Ngoma Awards?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And when that happened, did you finally feel that people had recognized the struggle that you had been through and that you were now finally a singer?
Yeah, I felt it. I felt it. It was like, for me, it was so shocking, because I wasn't expecting, you know, for something to happen like this, you know. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't ready, because I know myself, and I know the troubles I was facing, and I was always crying, because I thought it wasn't possible, because at the same time, I could see how people, they were busy ignoring me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it is. It's normal, especially when some people, they start seeing you as a person who has no money, no car, you're not even well dressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just look cheap to them, and they can't call you as somebody important. They can't see your talent,
mm-hmm.
but they would rather appreciate you from the way you look, from the way you dress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They can't listen to you. They can't pay attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this day, it was really, it was like a miracle. I was like, oh, my God, I don't even have anything recorded on me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I had no money. I couldn't even afford to pay for a truck or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, they always used to ignore me, you know. And, of course, this is normal. This is how it is. People, they can always remember you once they see, okay, she has something, you know. Oh,
right.
Yeah, she has. Yeah, this is how it is. So it was a shocking to me. It came as a shocking. But I said, okay, this is the time that people, okay, they are really appreciating me. It seems like they used to like it when we're performing. They were always there. And, yeah, mm-hmm. They just announced that, yeah, I've gotten this award.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking around. Who is Yvonne Mwale here? Maybe there's somebody sharing my name. Maybe we have the same name. No, it's not possible. It can't be me, you know.
Right.
There must be a mistake somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just coming to grab me, you know, to escort me to go there on stage, you know, to just talk. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, my, I didn't even prepare anything, because I'm not a very good talker. I don't talk too much. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's difficult because I'm not prepared, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went up there and I just said, you know, thank you, everybody. Thank you for your support. Yeah, that's it.
So then how did you go from winning the Ngoma Awards to now, I mean, you've just released a new album, you are now touring Europe, you know, and I actually was really thankful because I came across your music from another colleague that I know here who is from Cameroon. I didn't find out about you from the Zambian community. I found out about you from a colleague that is from Cameroon. So how did you go from winning a Ngoma Award to now touring Europe with your new album?
From the Europe tour, it was from this music Crossroads. It's mm-hmm. an organization from here in Europe. Yeah, mm-hmm. it seems like they support African young artists. Yeah, mm-hmm. they go from different countries. They pick the best African artists. Then they bring them together and then they make them competing. Mm-hmm. Then whoever's going to win the first prize, then you get that prize to go to Europe, like mm-hmm. in 8 countries. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I took the first prize. Mm-hmm. That's how I found myself in Europe. Yeah, it was mm-hmm. a good experience. Mm-hmm. Even for this one, of course, I couldn't believe myself. And I thought I wasn't that good that I can even maybe one day end up here, you know, reaching here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people, they were always there, you know, supporting and appreciating. And I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere, you know. So mm-hmm. also I just have to do this because mm-hmm. I love music so much and it's something that I can't even feel bad about it. Even if I never even finished my education, I don't have the full education in my head, mm-hmm. but I love music. Music mm-hmm. is all about, I mean, music is just in me. Mm-hmm. I dream about music. I eat music and everything I do is just about music.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I love music. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one of the themes that we've been discussing on this show for a while is about whether, you know, we grow up in a society, especially as Zambian society, where education is really, really emphasized upon. And then you have young people that are like you that are musically talented or artistically talented, and them being in school, they have a hard time in school because it sort of conforms them to thinking they have to be doctors or accountants or something like that. So here you are somebody that, you know, is a musician, you enjoy what you do, you say you eat, breathe, live music, and you haven't finished your education, and you are having this success. Of course, you have had the hard time. What do you have to say to young Zambians that are listening, that are struggling with their education and working with their talents and things like that?
I just have to say to them that in whatever they do, you know, they just have to believe in themselves. I mean, they have to believe it, that one day it's possible, you know, to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And they should just focus, yeah. They have to focus and they have to become very, very serious. They should work hard on their talents. They shouldn't give up to say, hey, nothing is happening. I've tried this and I've tried that. I've tried to meet people. You can't force people to help you. Mm-hmm. But one day things will turn out good. They mm-hmm. should always have faith in God, and mm-hmm. they should always, you know, believe in themselves mm-hmm. that they can make it. It's mm-hmm. not something that they can just give up to say, hey, time is passing and I'm aging up really quickly and nothing is showing up, you know, mm-hmm. no signs, nothing. And people, they give up because of this. Mm-hmm. But they shouldn't do that. That's really bad. They mm-hmm. should always believe and try to have some patience to say, hey, I know my time will come. Mm-hmm. There's always time for everything, you know. So mm-hmm. I just advise them just to keep doing what they're doing and always improve on the things that they do, mm-hmm. work on their skills, you know. They mm-hmm. should always have some faith mm-hmm. to say, okay, one day it will happen. So that's what I can say to them. Yeah.
Thank you. So now I'd just like to talk a little bit about your music. You know, your latest album is called Ninkale, and mm-hmm. then you've had several. How many albums have you actually done?
Two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And Ninkale is the one that you released this year. And tell us a little bit about that. Did you write every song?
Sorry, I think it's the very first album was with a group from Niali, from the Crossroads, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but from only mine, I think it's two, yeah.
Okay. And I just want to talk about your latest album now called Ninkale. Did you write every song on the album?
Yes, sure, I did. Mm-hmm. I did, mm-hmm. yeah.
And would you just like to let our listeners know, you know, what languages do you sing in? Are you singing in English? Are you singing in Senga?
Yeah, I'm mixing up. I'm mostly singing in Senga and mm-hmm. also in English, yeah. Then Senga is from Petauke, from the village where my mom is coming from, mm-hmm. from Mumbi. Yes. So we speak and Senga, and it's something that I really love. Mm-hmm. I love this language. Of course, I know there are few people who sing this language because They think it's too much tradition for them, you know. It's too much old fashion, especially for a young girl like me. Singing in Seng, I think for them it's not too good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I like. It sounds very sweet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all the songs that you write, do they come from your own personal experience?
Exactly, yeah. Some songs, yeah, like songs like Let Me Know and Can I Call You My Love, these are just the love songs. Of course, we know that love does exist everywhere. We need we need to find lovers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Love does exist everywhere. But like a song, this one called Ningale, it's about, yeah, my life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, Ningale, it means let me be.
Mm-hmm.
I composed this song a long, long time ago, like maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was always about my life, about what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this time that people, of course, it's the same thing that I explained before. When once they see you,
mm-hmm,
today, you don't look so well to them. They take advantage of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of them appreciating or respecting, or respect what you have, they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they see you wearing a cheap shoes or wearing some cheap clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about you looks really cheap. For them, it's always bad. They will still talk, but look at her, you know, she doesn't even know how to dress. Look at her shoes, you know, she looks cheap. I mean, they will always talk bad. Again,
mm-hmm,
the same people tomorrow, they see you maybe after 2 years or so. You're looking different, you know, than before.
Yeah.
They see you driving a car, but before they used to see you moving around on the street walking, you know. It was always crazy. Again, the same people, instead of appreciating, to say, really, but things change in life, you know. God,
mm-hmm,
really is always there for people.
Mm-hmm.
They start talking bad again about you. Look at her. We don't know what she did, you know. Maybe she had to go for, you know, juju. She did some juju thing,
mm-hmm,
black,
mm-hmm,
magic, you know, this blood money. Maybe this is what she's using.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I see it as bad.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I came up with this song. People will never appreciate you. Some people, of course. I know there are still good people out there.
Mm-hmm.
They are there. But some people, it's really crazy, and it's always like this. So people, they will always talk bad about you, no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
They will always talk bad. So,
mm-hmm,
sometimes it's better we just know whom we're dealing with, and we have to choose, like, right friends. You can be able to tell, to say, okay, yeah, these ones are good for me, or these ones are just pretenders, you know. They,
mm-hmm,
bite your back every time when they come to you. They show you like they like you or something like that. So,
mm-hmm,
this is what the song is saying, yeah.
So you talk about you singing in Senga as well. There are a lot,
mm-hmm,
of young Zambian artists that are singing in English because, of course, it gives them a wider audience. Now,
mm-hmm,
a lot of the songs on your album are written in Senga. I would say that the English ones, there's only two or three. How has that been? What has been the response, especially, for example, here in Germany? You know, I,
mm-hmm,
I saw that you had a show in Frankfurt, and I read good reviews about that. And these are people that do not understand Senga at all. What,
yeah,
was their response, and why do you continue to sing in Senga?
Of course, music, when you're doing music, it doesn't have to be with the language. Music is not the language, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can sing it whether in Spanish or, I don't know, French, as long as it's music.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some people, if you're doing good music, you know, they're not listening to what you're saying.
They, mm-hmm,
it's not for them to understand what you're singing about.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they want to listen to the melody. They just love the music.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I do this. Of course, some songs, this is why I'm mixing up the Nsenga with a bit of English, yes. Yeah, so it's not about the language only. It's not all about the language. Music, it has to be just music. Sometimes you can even scat, like me, myself, I have my music, the music I created, it's called scatting music. You know, it has no language, not even in Nyanja. People, they do scat, especially in jazz, you find things like this. You,
mm-hmm,
just scat, you sing about nothing, just scatting, you play with your voice,
mm-hmm,
as long as it's music, so I see it good like this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would just like to play, you know, your song Ningale for the listening audience.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we can just let the listeners hear it and then, yeah, hear what they have to say afterwards. Okay. This is Yvonne Mwale's song called Ningale. Okay, that was the title track called Ningale from Yvonne Mwale's new album, also called Ningale. I really, really love that song, Yvonne, by the way. It really has that nice Nsenga beat, I think. I feel like I'm in the Eastern province when I hear it.
It makes you dance, even if it's sad, huh?
Yeah, no, actually I was going to ask, you talked about your mother, you know, being a dancer. Is that something that you have incorporated into your own performances?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. And is this a Nsenga style of dancing, a Zambian style of dancing?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I would just like to let our listeners know I'm talking to Yvonne Mwale. She's an Afro jazz singer from Zambia who is here in Germany. She's been doing some promotional work for her new album called Ningale. You can take a look at her website, which is at www.yvonnemwale.com. You can also search for her on YouTube and see her videos and some of her live performances. And if anybody has a question or a comment for Yvonne, please go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. We are happy to hear from you, give her some encouragement, give her, you know, a little review of the song that you heard, etc. That would be great. Yvonne, I have a question for you. For some of the places that you have performed in Lusaka, you know, like the Misty Lounge and all these other places, have you had a chance to collaborate with other Zambian singers?
Not really. Mm-hmm. No, like, no. Like performing live?
Yes.
Yeah, like a long time ago, we used to perform with a lot of musicians. You know, people like maybe just sharing the stage, also maybe doing a bit of backing with Morini Dilanda. You know Morini Dilanda, yeah?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And also with the Mwale sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. also, yeah, with the bishop. Most of the time, I was always with the bishop, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Actually, with your name being Yvonne Mwale, my thought was also that you were part of the Mwale sisters.
Ah, no, it's just a different Mwale from a different family. yeah.
So what are your plans for your musical future? Where do you see yourself? Are you going to stay here in Germany and do a lot more of your music? What can we expect from you?
Yeah, maybe always, of course, as usual, something nice, and I would love to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not mm-hmm. because I like it. I mean, not because it's nice. Of course, it's different from where I come from, but they have beautiful people here. You know, they are open people, and they mm-hmm. are very friendly, and yeah, so I think I can stay here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not
and
because my husband is from here, but I love it here. I love the people here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Would you say that you have a better audience for your music here, or is it the same as Zambia? Because I know a lot of young Zambians, even when I think about a lot of the Zambian music that I listen to, it is a mm-hmm. lot of rap, dance music. And, you know, there's now artists like Scarlett, who we've had on the show before, that's
okay.
doing a lot of the jazz as well, and you're also doing Afro jazz. Do you
yeah.
think this is the kind of music that young Zambians appreciate, or is it more for a more mature crowd or a more international crowd?
I would say more maybe international, yeah. And the music I do, I don't want to perform for the color. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I just want all people to enjoy. It doesn't matter whether they are black or white. I just want to sing for everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me happy. If they're happy, I'm happy too. I want to make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too much into a color, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I have one question that is coming from my Facebook inbox, and this
mm-hmm.
Question is coming from a lady called Yvonne as well, which is funny. Her question is, you know,
uh-huh.
she's heard about you having a hard time growing up and losing your parents, and
mm-hmm.
she knows that you are a strong woman, and she wants to know what you have to say to young Zambian women that are struggling with some of the things that you have struggled with. You know, she wants to know if you can, because I think she may be going through a hard time. She's inspired by you making it through what you went through, and like you talked about, you know, doing all this peace work and things like that, and that you're a strong woman. She says, what can you say, what can you direct to young
mm-hmm.
Zambian women that are following their dreams and they're having a hard time?
Yeah, I just have to tell them that they should just try to have a little bit of patience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All these problems, they don't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a phase. You know, everything, it has its time.
Mm-hmm.
They won't remain on those hard times for
mm-hmm.
good. Like, yeah, it will come to pass. They should just continue working hard, and they should keep on doing whatever they're doing, even if they're doing small businesses. Of course, it's always hard, especially in the beginning when you don't even have anything with you, like, something like a small money just for, like small money to start up with a business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, if you have nothing, just always try to have faith in yourself to say, I will be able to do something. Don't even feel bad. Do some piece works and work hard.
Mm-hmm.
Just continue working. One thing they have to know is that they are not alone.
Mm-hmm.
God is always watching them. They are not alone. And also God is always watching to check, you know. He's also seeing the kind of people we are. He's able to tell that this one, oh, of course, she's lazy, or maybe he's strong, I don't know. Maybe they're strong, but you just have to fight and have faith and have some patience.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
won't cry forever. This you have to know. You will never cry forever. It
mm-hmm.
will come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they should just continue following their dreams. They should just continue chasing their dreams and try to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And have some faith. That's all. That's what I can tell them. It's
okay.
Not easy, but it will be okay one day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for answering that question. I have another one coming from a young man called James that is listening all the way
okay.
from Russia.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I mean, we have Zambians everywhere that listen to the show, so that is very exciting, you know, okay. to hear about that. The question was about you. The question is, Yvonne, you sing about your own experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sing about young Zambians' experiences with HIV and, say, problems in their marriages, etc.?
Sometimes, yeah, most of the songs, they're about the realities, you know, in life. Yes, of course, and I sometimes sing about the HIV. Yes, like when you look at my first album, I have a song, there's a song which is talking about young people who are, you know, playing around and always trying to advise them that what they're doing is not good. That's not the way how they can survive or make themselves being somewhere. Because most of the young girls in Zambia, or let me not say in Zambia, just everywhere, I think this HIV thing is everywhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have these habits of playing around, you know. Even if things are hard, we have these habits of playing around, going outside to sell their bodies, you know, to have something in order for them to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not good, you know. So instead of you protecting your life or having a good life, you end up having the same virus, you know. You end up getting this virus. Instead
mm-hmm.
of making your life becoming better. So I'm always singing about these things sometimes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the songs about that, yes.
Do you also sing about political issues?
No, that I don't do.
That is one thing you stay away from.
I am scared. I don't want
Can
to
I
be
ask
locked
why?
up. Of course, sometimes I'm not me. That's not me. I can't sing about politics. I don't want to involve myself in these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just don't do that. Yeah.
Okay, to our listeners, we're speaking to Yvonne Mwale about her new album called Ninkale. And is your this album is available on iTunes and on Amazon. Is it available anywhere else?
Like in other countries right now, yes, like in the shops, yeah. Like you said, on iTunes and also on Amazon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So for all those that are listening, especially our American listeners, please go ahead and get Yvonne's album called Ninkale. It is available on iTunes. You can just go ahead and buy that, or on Amazon, on Google Play as well, on Spotify,
exactly.
and on Deezer.
Yes.
So you can hear her music on Spotify if you're interested to know a little bit more about her. You know, all the other songs and everything like that. So, Yvonne, thank you so much for coming on the show. I was really, really impressed
yeah.
by, you know, speaking to you about your work and about your music, because I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, thank you so much. And first, before we go, I would also like to say thank you to all the people who are listening, and thank you so much for your support. And also especially the people who helped me, who contributed their ideas in this music album,
mm-hmm.
the album we just released.
Mm-hmm.
There are people like Uncle Jones is here, and also Twaba from Tanzania, and also the musicians we played with, the same musicians who are playing with Sevier Naido and Glasshouse.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank them because, yeah, they made it happen, and they have to know that without them, without their contributions, I don't know what I could have done. They are real good musicians, and that's
mm-hmm.
what I really respect. I like it more to work with people like them. You
mm-hmm.
know, they advise you. They are able to share their ideas with you, and I love working with such people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I make mistakes, but it's good when you're working with people whereby you're advising each other. That's how it works. So I want
mm-hmm.
to say thank you to everybody, even you. Thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to meet you.
Yeah, that would be really, really nice. But before
yeah.
we go, I just wanted to play one more of your songs, and it's called okay. Nilova. And
Nilova.
I, yeah,
Thank
and
you.
I wanted you to just explain to everybody that's listening what that is about, and yeah, how you came up with the song.
Okay, so you're playing it now? Or?
I'll play it after you tell us what it is about.
Ah, okay, cool. Nilova, it's... And Nyanja, this one is actually Nyanja, not Nsenga, but it's in Nyanja, our language. This is the language that we all speak in Zambia. It's an easy language. You can communicate with everybody if you're speaking Nyanja when you go to Zambia. Mm-hmm. Nilova, it means being absent.
Mm-hmm.
Being absent. It's actually a story that tells about the lecture. You know, there's one of my lecture, it's just a story, you know, mm-hmm. at school. And this lecture, it seems like he has this habit of flirting with young girls like me, mm-hmm. and I'm one of the students, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He has this habit that every time he has to flirt with young girls, and he's older, maybe 50-something or 40-something, and that's not right what he's doing. Tomorrow he has to hang out with this one, and after tomorrow he has to change, he has to hang out with this one. So it makes me feeling really sad that he's even also coming to me. You know, he wants to start flirting with me. Mm-hmm. Then me, I go like, hey, this is not right. I see it as bad. At your age, you shouldn't be hanging out with students like this.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, you are our teacher, you know. You
mm-hmm.
have to respect yourself. But this is too much because he's not changing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have to do, I'm going to report to my mother. Tomorrow, I'm not going to come to school. I will be absent. Yeah, just know that tomorrow I'm not coming to school. So that's what it means, Nilova. I'm going to report to my mother. I will report. I will tell them everything that you're doing. It's not right. Because
mm-hmm.
where you are there, you're just busy flirting with these young girls, and you are even sick, you know. You
mm-hmm.
being sick as in having this HIV, you know. So he's trying to spread it to the young girls, which is not right. So I tell him what he's doing. He has to stop it.
Okay.
Tomorrow I'm not going to come to school again. I have to report to my parents. So something has to be done. So that's the meaning of Nilova.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so here is a bon song called Nilova.
Nilu say, katani kile, Nilu say.
Okay, that was Yvonne's song called Milova. Yvonne, I still have a few more questions that have come through for you on Facebook, actually.
And also, I have to just apologize on this Nilova. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be Nzenga. I said it's Nyanja. But I was, oh my God, I'm just a little bit confused. It's Nzenga. Sorry.
That's all right. I have a few questions still coming in for you from my Facebook page. And one of the questions is, are you planning on touring in the U.S. at any time soon?
Yeah, I think if there's a possibility, I think I would love to go there. I would really, really love. So it would be so nice. If we get any chance, you know, if there's any chance to go there, yeah, we can do that. But we're still working on that. My managers, they're working on that. Even our booking agents, I mean, we are working on that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And another question is, do you intend to stay true to your African style, or do you think that you would try different styles of music?
Of course, I would say it would be nice to try different kinds of styles, but it's better for me I just stick to the same African bluesy and jazzy roots, you know. It's better I just maintain it this way. Of course, maybe, who knows, maybe I can change, but I don't see it that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I just stick to this kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. And as we come towards the end of the show, I have one last question, because later on after this show is done, we're going to be talking about the World Cup that is currently going on. I wanted to find out which team you're supporting.
I'm not too much into this. I don't really like football.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like,
so you don't have a team that you are supporting?
I don't have, really. I just have to be honest. I'm not a soccer fan. I just love it to hear people screaming and excited. Well,
mm-hmm.
And I love it just to be told that, okay, this one, they won, or, yeah, mm-hmm. things like this. But mm-hmm. I'm not a soccer fan.
Okay, all right then.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much, Yvonne Mwale, for being on Diaspora and Truth.
Thank
has
you
been
so
Diaspora
much.
Truth. Yvonne Mwale is a young Zambian artist that is living here in Germany at the moment, and she has just released her album, Ninkale. You can go to her website, www.yvonnemwale.com, for more information, and you can find information about her album on iTunes and on Amazon as well. Thank you so much, Yvonne, for coming on
thank
the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. Thank Hopefully you so much.
You.
Thank you. And next we're going to be talking about the World Cup with Miss Denkama and Matilda, if she's willing, if she is watching the football. So everybody, please stay tuned. After the song, we come back to discuss what are your predictions, who are your favorites, what do you think is going to happen in the World Cup. So stay tuned.
Oh,
Okay, you are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We have just finished Diaspora Truth with Yvonne Mwale, and now we are going to be discussing the World Cup. Who are your favorites? What is the team that you predict is going to win? Miss Nkama, welcome to the show.
Hi, Twambo. It's good to hear your voice. I'm sure the mood in Germany is crazy, isn't it?
It is very crazy. Yesterday, watching the game, I watched the game standing outside of a restaurant because a lot of the places have these big screens outside. So
people imagine
about the weather or what's going on. You can stand anywhere and watch the game. So it was really, really incredible. It was very exciting. But I think people are still, you know, still a little nervous about what is coming.
Well, they shouldn't worry so much. The next opponent is Brazil, isn't it? And you know what has happened to Brazil, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, Brazil have got a tragedy in their camp, so I believe that is going to be an excuse for losing the game. But let's see what happens here. And otherwise, how have you been doing?
No, I've been doing well. I've been watching pretty much every game of the World Cup, which has resulted in late nights here in Germany. The last game ends usually after midnight. Been very tired.
Really?
Yes, been tired.
Well, you see, for us it works out very well because the first game in my time zone, it's played at 11 in the morning. And the next one comes on at 3 p.m. or 1500 hours. Depending on what time zone you're in. So you can see for us, it's basically during the daytime. And, of course, for those that go to work during the day, it doesn't work very well. They miss out a lot. But that's basically what has been happening. Now, coming to, I know we have a few minutes here. Yvonne Mwale, very impressive, Twambo, very impressive. She stayed true to the original language, if I may say that. And the second thing that stood out to me about something that she said is she doesn't want to do anything with politics. We need people like that in life as well. It's important because you can't have everybody singing and doing politics. Some people just need to, you know, some people just need to stick to culture, lifestyle, and, you know.
Yes, to mix it up a little bit.
Exactly, because we can't all be doing politics. And the other interesting thing that she mentioned, which you pointed out, is that the first thing that comes to one's mind based on her last name, this, I must confess, I also fell in that trap. Immediately I saw the name Mwale, I just said to myself, wow, this Mwale legacy is going to go a long way. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Yeah. Of course, I was assuming she's in the Mwale family. But she just clarified that herself. That, how did you find Yvonne?
Actually, it just came across my Facebook feed because there's a lady that is from Cameroon that I know here. And, she said she was going to a show for a Zambian Afro jazz singer in Frankfurt. So I was taken aback because I've never been to, you know, I've never gone to a show of a Zambian singer here that I didn't know about. You know, I wanted to have first rights as a Zambian, that I should know that if there's any Zambian singing in Germany, I should know about it. But apparently not. And I read her bio on her website and was really touched at the tough time that she had, having lost both of her parents and, you know, sleeping in markets and things like that. It was something that she went through before she actually got on with her musical career. So I think that's what also helps keep her really humble and stay true to herself, is because she's been through things like that. And I thought that I would have her on the show and have people get to know about her and support her music. And I think we need to learn more about, you know, young artists like that, especially Zambian artists that are still singing in. She sings in Senga, you know. I think a lot of the Zambian music is based on Nyanja and Bemba, and those are not the only languages we have. We have so many. I would like to hear some Lenje songs and some Kaonde songs, you know, if young people would be a little more comfortable with the languages. And like she said, it's not about the language, it's about the music. But also, I think for me, I would like to hear that, there's a young Kaonde girl or a young Luvale man that's singing in Luvale, you know. That's what I would like to hear more of. Yeah. Now, going back to football, I wanted to find out what the feeling was like in the U.S. after they unceremoniously left the World Cup.
I like the way you emphasize the word unceremoniously. You see, here is the thing about the U.S. The U.S. always look for the positive in everything. I don't know how much you follow U.S. news or what is happening here. The big thing for us here has turned out to be that the goalkeeper for us was our hero, and he won the day for us. He did a good job. I've got a theory on that, which I'll be raising on our football, on a World Cup roundup discussion here. I've got another theory I want to look at, but I'm not going to let it out right now until my guest call in.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way everybody looked at it. Like, you know, we put up a good fight. Soccer is a developing, is an ongoing thing here. And right now, you can even hear people talking about things like watch out for U.S. team in World Cup 2018, which I believe is going to be in Russia. So that's where basically things are. Of course, we were disappointed. We would have loved our team to go further than that. But did you see that aspect of people filling stadiums to watch the game on big screen?
Yes. I mean, even just in Brazil, the large amount of Americans that was there, that was such an impressive turnout. I was very, very impressed. And even on social media, especially on Twitter, the way the Americans rallied around each other, even for people that have not ever followed the game, the support was overwhelming. You know, it's very different from here where people do support Germany. They love the team. People have loved the team forever. People are into football here. And even the way they watch the game is very different. So I was comparing watching the game yesterday to the way we would watch, say, in Zambia, you know. We talk to the screen, we have advice for everyone, you know, we're shouting. But Germans watch football the way they play football. Everyone's concentrating. It's very technical. Of course, they scream and shout when they score. But people don't like to talk too much when they're watching the game in case they miss something. So sometimes it's a little hard for me, you know, as a Chipolo Polo fan to keep quiet and not talk to people on the screen and tell them what to do and things like that. But it's also a beautiful thing to watch here. But I saw that the Americans, yes, they really did support their team. And, of course, they were made fun of by other countries because they were saying, oh, America's finally realizing that there's other countries in the world now, you know. But that's all just fun and games, I guess. So who are you going to have on the next segment to speak about the World Cup?
Just a few guys, ladies and gentlemen, I've put together. You can join us if you are free in the next hour. Matilda, Campbell Lumbila from New York, and Peter Chitila. He played competitive soccer or football, whichever. He gave us a very good analysis last week, and it was just amazing. Just to, you know, to get that. Matilda, wouldn't you agree with me? Peter did a good job. Actually, Matilda is responsible for bringing Peter on the show, and he has agreed to come back again today. Well, Matilda.
Good evening, Nathan. Good afternoon, Twambo.
Good afternoon.
I want to talk responsibility. It's a team. You know, it's a team effort. You know how we do it on the CR. And while Twambo is on the line, I think Twambo had a guest a few months ago on someone who was wanting to, you know, I'm tongue-tied now. Well, I want Twambo's guest and Peter Chitila to meet. So Twambo will be the go-between there. So,
So this is the guest that was sending the football kits to Zambia?
Yes, the one who was sending the football equipment to Zambia.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, no problem. It's all about connecting.
Now, Twambo, I wanted to comment on, you know, how you described the Germans, the way they watch the game. Mm-hmm. You know, while you were saying that, I was thinking about how you know, watching soccer can give you such a high blood pressure, and sometimes, unfortunately, it may lead to, unfortunately, it may lead to death. You know, people die from watching soccer. How are those cases common in Germany?
In Germany? I have not heard anything like that since I've been here. I think also because they have such a belief in their team, and I think this is one of the biggest reasons that Germany is so successful, is that they know that their country is behind them 100%. So, for example, at the workplace, if Germany is playing, people automatically know they can get off work early and it's not a problem. People feel free to go to work in their soccer sweaters if it's a job that allows you to do that. The kids go to school with their faces painted, you know, so everybody is behind them no matter what. And this is the one thing that I really admire about the Germans, is when they are serious about something, they're able to pull together and have 100% support. So, no, I haven't heard about anybody here dying of a heart attack, because they know the team is going to pull through in one way or another. Because if you look at the players as well, even if they're behind, they don't get discouraged and then start to play a bad game, which happens to a lot of countries, where if they're behind 1-0, all of a sudden they're too tired to run anymore. They're talking to each other a lot more on the pitch and things like that. Germans are just, we're going for the goal and that is where we're going. No talk, let's just do it, you know? And I think that is something we can learn as African teams, especially, because we don't even have any more African teams, which I'm very disappointed about.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah, very right. You're very, very right on that one. And there's a lot of learning to do in this whole process and how everything is just going to work out. And well, that's good. And thank you for transitioning us, Twambo. I'm waiting for my panel to call in here. Let me say good welcome and good morning to Uncle Daniel here from Pennsylvania. Yama, good morning.
Good morning, Yama.
Good. You see, Twambo, we've switched from Senga to Bemba.
Yes, I can see that.
Uncle Daniel, are you following the World Cup?
Yes, I've been following, a little bit, yes.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. This is World Cup Roundup, and I think my panel is here, and they are ready. Area code 314, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Pianchi.
Yeah, Pianchi.
Long time, Pianchi. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. We're glad to have you on. It's good to have you on, and let's welcome everybody here. 845, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Campbell here. How are you?
Campbell, my man. It's good to have you on the show today, and I'm looking forward to a great discussion here. Once again, Matilda, welcome, and good morning. Let's go to Minnesota. Mr. Natala, are you with us? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, everybody. But Matilda, can you just clarify, is that gentleman who comes talking about soccer the one that was selling jerseys? I don't know. Sorry, nothing to ask.
I'm so sorry. The name has escaped me, but he was a guest on Transparent Truth. Twambo had spoken to him about sending equipment, I think, from Germany. And the person I'm referring to here also is Peter Chitila, who's in Dallas. He plays. He has played competitive sports in the soccer realm, and he coaches, I think, the Dallas team. So in terms of selling jerseys, I don't know if he's the one. I know there
was
someone.
Did he come to Tampa? Did he come to Tampa?
Yes, he was.
Okay, then it's the same one. The one that used to play for the team. Okay.
All right, let's get into the discussion here. Everybody, I do hope and trust you've been following the discussion or the games. You've been following the World Cup. Some interesting developments have just happened here. Campbell, I brought you here for a reason. You know that I brought you here for a reason. Okay.
Okay.
Now, Twambo, now I'm going to bring out the point that I told you that I was going to bring out about the U.S. and how we felt, about that loss. Here is my question to you. When Campbell responds, anybody else will be free to respond to this point.
Okay.
We have said our keeper Howard saved the day. Since 1966, he's made a record of saving 16 shots at him. Now, Campbell, doesn't that – somebody may look at it and say he did a good job. I'm trying to – for us to turn the table around and say – doesn't that say a lot about the porosity or how porous the defense was? What's your response?
Definitely. I think that though Howard did a great job in saving all those balls, I think the big question that has to be asked is where was the defense?
Mm-hmm.
And why did the defense allow so many strikers to have so many shots at goal? Yes, American soccer has made a lot of strides and, you know, a lot of progress, but I think that the defense is porous. The attack was lacking. But, I mean, Howard saved the day. He kept the U.S. in the game as long as he could. But the question is, where was the defense to stop that assault from happening? So I think while we get some, you know, some great heroic, you know, stories from, oh, Howard saved the day, we should really be asking, where were his defenders to stop short goal? You know, so.
Twambo, you wanted to comment?
Yes, I mean, I think for me it just sounds like this is a big thing that I notice even when I live in the U.S. is that you sort of you people don't want to make somebody feel bad for losing, you know. And I don't want to say this. Yes, I'm saying this is what America's doing. They did not do as well as they could have done. And yes, it's nice to look at the positives and saying, okay, Howard was great. But he asked a good question because it is a team effort. Where was the rest of the team? I totally agree with what he's saying. And if the U.S. is to do much better in the next World Cup, they really need to work on the whole team effort. I totally agree with that.
Okay. Titus?
It's a good analysis. But again, the strikers, I remember some of the other World Cup that happened. Again, I think maybe Twambo would take on this. When Germany used to play, if you remember those guys, Bremer and Brigo, it's just a challenge. Those guys used to play number two and number three in the back. If you remember Dennis Rewewa, he would always quote by saying overlapping fullbacks. You play in the back, but you're almost attacking like number 11 and number 7 in the front. So just a reminder for US, they can look at that format where the defenders are doing their work, but they're also attacking in front. So in this case, I mean, I think the defense was lacking for US. They need to do even an extra thing to play like Germany, how they'll play the number twos and number threes.
Okay. Tiank, I don't know whether you want to comment. What's your take on the way the everybody has responded about Howard saving the day for the U.S. national team?
Nathan.
Yes.
I don't know nothing about soccer.
And I like the frankness.
Why would a person put their head in front of a ball that's traveling that fast? I don't know. And all the emphasis is on concussions and other sports, and here's a sport that you get credit and cheers and hoops and hollering for putting your head in front of a ball. I don't know nothing about soccer.
Okay, that's okay. We'll spare you. Just enjoy the discussion. Let me go. Okay, Matilda says she's Matilda, just let me know when you come back. Campbell, here is the thing, okay? That's about the American team and everything else. I just read some news right now. I was looking at some things. Is this the worst news that the World Cup is going to get about Brazil, what has just happened? And I would like you to – let me give you the honor to inform those that might not know what has happened to Brazil.
Ah, okay. So the football favorite from Brazil, Neymar, has had, you know, his vertebrae broken in his back. For anybody that watched the game, Brazil versus Colombia yesterday, there was a lot of you know, people are talking about the ref was not fair, and there's all these opinions that have come out about it. But to cut the story short, you know, he ran into another player, and he's had, it's not broken, it's fractured pretty badly, so he won't be out, able to play in the World Cup anymore. So as I was talking to Ms. Ankama earlier, we're talking about, does this mean this is the end for Brazil? Is Brazil able to continue? Could they win the World Cup without a star player like him? This is the question. But yes, that is what has happened. Brazil has lost its key player, basically.
Cambo, your response to that?
You know, I think this is the biggest test that Brazil is going to face. I mean, they have good people on the bench. I think that Big Phil, their coach, has to be very tactful when he plays the next game, because they centered everything around Neymar. You know, he was a playmaker. But they have sidelined people like Oscar, who does a great job in midfield, you know, to create those chances. But the only way
even that guy with everybody's laughing at the name, Hulk is very explosive, Campbell.
Yes, yes. But you see, Hulk needs the ball's fed to him. He can run from midfield, but he loses a lot of steam when he gets to the 18 area. You know, like he doesn't, you know, his creativity is not that great when he gets to that place. I think that a combination that will work is if Scolari plays Oscar, he plays a Chelsea forward. You know, he plays Oscar Ramirez.
Oh, okay.
If he plays that combination, I think he has a better chance of getting balls to people like Fred, people like and Hulk. But the problem is, Willian and Ramirez come to replace one of those two. So I don't know how he's going to play it.
You see, this is the problem with Twambo. I like the point you made about when you said it's a team effort when we're looking at Howard's performance and the entire U.S. national team. You see, Cambo and Matilda, everybody, this is the problem when a team is sort of built on a particular star or one single player. Because in my opinion, Twambo, I've observed that that's a reason for somehow Argentina isn't performing as they ought, because everything is about Menchi. That's what I call him. Okay, Menchi. Everything is about water. In English, they would say water. Everything is about Messi, Twambo. Soccer doesn't work that way.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. Because then when you have something like what has happened to Brazil, where does that leave the team? And I think this is why this German team is my favorite, not only because I live here, but if you look at the team that they have, a lot of their players that are there are stars in a lot of the German Bundesliga itself, a lot of players from Bayern Munich, from Dortmund, and all the people on the bench are also big stars in other clubs. So they have people, if somebody is injured, that can come in and just take over, and not like a well-oiled German machine continue on with, you know, going forward to hopefully win this World Cup. That is what my money is on, Germany. But yes, I think teams should not just, you know, depend on one person. If we look at the African teams, you know, if you think of Cote d'Ivoire, if you think of Cameroon, all your names start popping up. You think of Eto'o, you think of Drogba. Who are the other people on the team? Is that the problem that we had in Africa as well?
Very, very interesting, observation right there, Twambo, because you see, the thing is that I'm sure this is the point that we are trying to make here. In the teams that have really done well, you do not hear a single name standing out above everybody else. You see what I'm trying to say? Look at the Netherlands, look at Germany, even Belgium. You don't see one particular player, even France, even if they've gone out. They did not have a superstar player. It was like everybody put in needed to happen. Matilda, we are saying that the teams that are doing very well do not have like a superstar player who stands out above everybody else. What have you observed?
You know, this is the first time in a long time I'm following the World Cup. I haven't followed World Cup games since 1996 when Roberto Baggio was the star.
No, you're not alone. I'll tell you one thing before. Sorry to interrupt you. I'll confess here, Twambo Kambo, I miss Ronaldo. I miss Maradona. I'll confess. That's a long time ago. Go ahead, Matilda.
Yeah, so as I was saying, you know, I haven't watched a World Cup game since 1996, starring Roberto Baggio again. The key players, you know, like the stars, I mean, with the teams that have remained, you are right in saying we don't have those people who are standing out. This is going to be an interesting game. But as we are speaking, Nathan, I'm joined by Zondani, one person who's been watching these games through and through and through. So maybe he can do an analysis on, you know, the remaining teams and, you know, the star players. Zondani, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Okay.
Zondani, good morning. Okay.
Maybe he's trying to speak. I don't know. But anyway, you can go on, Nathan. He'll jump in when he can.
Yeah, I know he's going to join in. Titus, you've heard what we are saying here, your comment.
It's true. It's true. One team needs to, I second you that you need to have not one person, relying on one person in other ways. It's supposed to be the whole teamwork. The whole teamwork.
Well, one thing
you have even seen. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Titus.
You have even seen, you know, doesn't it amaze you that all these people, Drogba and all these people that play nice in these European teams, England will be the first one to come out on this competition. It's because of that situation where this one person is so good that, you know, but when he goes to play for his own team, even if he's helped by other internationals, they do nothing for their country. Look at Messi, he's trying to pull Argentina, but again, it's one of those things where it's one person. But he's a heavily paid person, he's a good player, but when it comes to dealing with the whole team to make it win, there's no guarantee that they'll do that.
I mean, Titus, just I want you to comment further on this one. You mentioned England, and my other thing is that the whole Ronaldo, I mean, it's like things just didn't happen. You okay? The era of one person carrying the team is over, Titus. I just mentioned Maradona, my favorite player of all times.
Oh, it's done. I mean, there's no guarantee. Look at even the U.S. itself.
Yes.
It's the goalkeeper you're talking about. He was carrying everything, but he can't do it alone. That's why you're going to, how did these people allow? Why are the people in front not attacking? You need to be scoring. Look at even how they qualified. This was another interesting thing that surprised me, where even if a team wins, it still loses. This goal aggregate thing, I didn't really understand it myself.
I know. Those are the other technicalities. Twamba, you wanted to say something?
I wanted to say that, you know, this has been a World Cup of surprises, you know, for a lot of teams. A lot of teams that were very arrogant from the beginning, teams that we've always believed that are always going to be in the top. You know, France is now gone. England went. I don't think I even watched England play. That is how surprising it has been. So this is actually termed the World Cup of the underdog in some ways, you know, because if you look at when Germany played Argentina, I think that the German team was actually a little arrogant. I think even us fans of the German team were a little arrogant. You know, Algeria, okay, Algeria is good, but Algeria is not that good. But look at how much force they brought. Germany struggled against Algeria. So I think we need to start doing away with the thought of these big teams and, you know, they're doing really well. Look at how well Uruguay played. Colombia also did very well. Unfortunately, they didn't win yesterday. Costa Rica was such a great surprise. these are just countries that are going to keep getting better and better and better. So countries like Germany should watch out. I mean, they're really, really good, but other countries are also getting really, really good. And I would like to see the next World Cup have, I don't know, an African team take the World Cup or some really obscure place. So I think this is why this World Cup has really been enjoyable, is because you just never know who is actually going to win the game that you're watching. So that's what I wanted to say.
You know, Tambo, that has been a very clear characteristic of this World Cup. There's no domineering giant team that is rolling all over everybody.
You know, the thing I think that has helped this World Cup become, I think, one of, in my view, one of the best that I've seen recently. But the one thing that I think has helped is that a lot of these players are also playing in some of the biggest and greatest leagues in the world. I mean, when you just look at how many players are playing in the EPL and how many players are playing in the Spanish League or the Bundesliga, you know, so I think that also adds to the advancement of soccer all around the world. In my view, I think at this time in history, for soccer, I think it has to be about how a manager can bring great talent together and make them play as a team. Because, for example, if you look at Argentina, I mean, you got Leo Messi, yes, he's your star. But you got Sergio Aguero, who has been playing well, you know, for his club. You have Di Maria, he has also been playing well. You have Mascherano, you know, you have all these guys that have been really, really good for their team, Zabaleta, you know. But how do they play together as a team? You know, I think that is where the coach needs to be very tactful in terms of, okay, I know he's got great talent, but who is he going to tick with? You know, because, I mean, Colombia came to play. Colombia played very, very good soccer. But yesterday what we saw was a lack of technical ability. Yes, they had the talent. Yes, they had the physique. But where was the technical ability? Where were the tactics? You've got the talent on the team, but how do you move them? How do you make them play together? You know,
they seemed intimidated for some reason. Why?
Of course, they were playing. They were playing 12 people there. they had their, you know, the Brazilian crowd was just intimidating.
Oh,
I mean,
okay, I see what you mean.
That can be intimidating, but what I think, my money is on Germany, Argentina for the final. I still believe in Argentina. I think that they can pull it together. Today they're going to face a very big test with Belgium, because Belgium has a young team, very, very talented, but they are playing together. And that is the test. They are really good together, you know.
Peter, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Thank you for joining us. I don't know how much you have heard of what Campbell in New York has said, and everybody, this is Mr. Peter Chitila, like we were saying, he was going to join us. He has played football at competitive level, and is a professional trainer and a coach. Peter, your thoughts, I don't know, just pick it up from wherever you want to, what you heard Campbell explain or describe, how would you respond to that?
Yeah, what Mr. Campbell has described about the technical ability of the Colombia team. To me, I will totally disagree with the technical ability. The technical ability of the game is to where you can put the ball down and put it into spaces where it's supposed to go. That's the technical ability. But the individual talent, that's different. With the Colombia team, what they lacked was, you're playing away. You're playing a stadium of 100,000 people, and you got 90,000 people cheering against you. Trust me, the first 20, 30 minutes you'll be nervous. It doesn't matter who you are. That was Colombia yesterday. But when Colombia came into the game, they realized that we're playing a World Cup knockout game. Everything changed. So the Brazilian team can go into the finals just because they are playing at home. They got all the support. You play with you are more motivated just because of the support. But after it may last like 40, 50, 60 minutes, then the other person will realize what's going on, then that will fall in place. The Colombia team was very physical. The Colombia team was very technical. That you can't take that from away from them. But the Brazilian defense was excellent. You know, they got that, they got this, what's this boy? He's playing the number five, the captain, who missed the game against Germany. He's the best defender. Yes, he's the best defender in the world. He's the most highest paid defender in the world. So expect
Brazil
to play good. Yes, that's what he is. That's why now they bought Luiz to partner him at PSG. They are the most two expensive, most paid defenders in the world. So Colombia did their level best. They did what they had to do. But I'll to Brazil. They was at home and they're hanging in there.
Yeah, so like Cambo is saying, they were playing against 12 people. Now, here is the another thing that Peter, I want you to respond to. I observed that they looked intimidated. What was that about?
Yes, like I said before, the referee, you can tell. I don't know if you watch the referee. The referee will give Brazil anything in the first half, and that's where the game was killed. So there was no rates on the Colombia team. Colombia team will go in the next round. How much money will Brazil lose? They look at those things, but they're not going to show them. But the referee, you see, like an obstruction, somebody going in attack, when you obstruct them, that's a yellow card.
Mm-hmm.
And yet somebody trying to make another attack, you obstruct them, that's another yellow card. That's a red card. That's what Brazil was doing. Brazil was taken because they tell you, okay, what you do when they're going for attack, just obstruct them. But the referee didn't call those calls. You know, it's a professional. It's worked by very intelligent people. It's very hard for us to notice. But as people that have stepped on the field, when I'm in the key, I'm trying to go forward. Then you pull my shirt, you feel all the morale. We got to start afresh again. But again, I'll give credit to the Brazilian defense.
Okay.
So
I have one question.
I mean, he talked about the ref, you know. I've read a few articles this morning that the ref is actually the one that is to blame for Neymar's injury because he wasn't blowing the whistle when he needed to blow the whistle for all the aggression that was going on the pitch. Would you agree with what people are saying?
Me myself, I would totally disagree. I would totally disagree just because soccer is a physical game, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Neymar is just another player just like Messi. Messi is the most fouled player. You never heard Messi complain to the referee. But Neymar is one of the most skillful young players with a small body structure. So every player feels like, okay. Yes, every player feels like, oh, how can this little player, you know, try to control the game? So they will be hard on Neymar. And the way he did to hit him that knee on the back, all defenders we used to do that because when they hit you, that anywhere in your back is bones.
Mm-hmm.
So when they hit you with that thing, they know you're not going to continue the game. That guy plays in Italy. He intentionally did that and he knew once we get Neymar out of the game, we're going to catch Brazil. So it's part of the game. It's nothing to blame the referee, no. The referee thought the guy was flying, but he hit him with, that's a professional foul. That's what you call a professional foul. It's been done on Messi 100 times. You never saw that in the newspaper.
Yeah, but I think that the referee mishandled the game from the get-go. I think he did not manage the emotion of it. And I think that, you know, the fouls were cumulative. And because he wasn't warning people, he wasn't giving yellow cards, there was no way he could bring out a yellow card at that moment. I mean, that was clearly a foul. It was a knee in the back. The linesman should have seen that. The referee should have seen that. But because of the way they had managed the game from the first half, where they did not blow in favor of Colombia or for Brazil, they couldn't penalize a player for doing what he did. I think the referee mishandled the game. And I think that, yes, Neymar is going to be fouled, but I think that the referees have to be the ones who take charge of the game and kind of bring down the emotions so that everybody can be objective and enjoy soccer.
One thing I'll tell you about the referees, this is what the referees observe in the game. There's no team that's going to wear the same color of socks. That's one thing the referee is going to observe when people are running around. Number two, the referee keeps the eyes on the ball. So the referee protects the player from the socks and the ball. So like I was saying, it's a professional foul when you try to jump and hit somebody with the knee in the back. The only way they're going to call that foul is only a game like in America, like a basketball, where you stop, let's review, then they make a decision. Yes, you're going to catch that. But as a player, personally, I'm telling you, when you want to make a technical foul, you have to be high because the referee focuses on the socks and the ball. So the referee has nothing to do with that. Those fouls happen every single game. But because it's Neymar in Brazil, Neymar, people make a big deal out of it. It's a regular foul. I'll call it a regular foul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's injured. So
yes.
He's out of the World Cup. So how can that be a regular foul?
It doesn't matter if he's out of the World Cup. In the World Cup, it's a regular foul that can happen to any player in the game. But Neymar has a small body structure. That's why he's out of the game. Like I told you, go to the statistics. Messi is the number one most fouled player in soccer on the planet. Guess what? He played the whole 90 minutes without complaining.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's make some progress here. Before we go on, I think Titus wanted to say something. Titus, you wanted to say something there? Titus. Okay, he pressed one, he was trying to. You're listening to Zander Block Talk Radio. This is Open Forum. We're doing a World Cup roundup. My panel, Kambo Lumbila, New York, Twambo Kapivikisha, Germany, Matilda Lucas, Kansas City, Peter Chitila, Dallas, Texas, and Titus Matala in Minnesota, and everybody else who's listening and joining us. If you have a question, or you like to make a comment, you can post it on our Facebook page, Zambia Block Talk Radio, on Twitter at Zambia Block Radio. We are having a great and exciting time here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's switch to, I know Brazil is a hot cake and everything else, but I want us to move to the France-Germany game before we look at today's games. Let me begin with Valumbila, Kambo. What I said about Colombia and the Brazil game is what I saw about France and Germany. France looked intimidated to me. They froze. I want you to respond to that. I don't know what you observed.
I think that the inexperience of the players showed. I mean, yes, they froze to some extent. But I think, you know, they had it in them. You know, France has been playing good soccer up to, you know, good football up to this time. But I think they were intimidated by the name Germany because, I mean, they can't be intimidated by the players themselves because they play with these guys all the time. So I think that what I saw from France yesterday was a lack of just that technical mindset to kind of, I think it was very psychological for them. They picked up late in the game and they couldn't just get themselves back to where they were supposed to be. I mean, the Germans are great in the back. They play a very high line. That can make them vulnerable, but they're playing it well so far, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think that just shut off France in the midfield. Yes, they were able to run a little bit to the front and make some shots on goal, but I think that it was psychological for them. And they picked up very, very late, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Twambo, what did you observe? Then we'll go Kulibati.
Oh, okay. Well, for me, supporting the German team, my eyes were on Germany the whole time, you know, the tactical, like their defense, et cetera, always watching what the coach is doing. He always seems to have a change-up for every game, you know. For example, Lahm was all the way in the back, which doesn't usually happen. So they focus on defense for this game, not as much as they did for Algeria. France didn't seem to be in the game. I mean, they played well, but it wasn't the France that I remembered. You know, I also thought that they could do a lot better. They didn't seem to want to win the game, actually. That was my observation.
Peter?
Yeah, my opinion or my analysis to the German-France game is, if you go to the statistics, France had so many chances at goal than the Germans. That's number one.
Yes.
So, France had an opportunity to win that game, but they never took advantage of the opportunities that they had. Then number two, German has the best midfield in the world today. So when every team is playing German, is going to look good, because German has to start the game from the back. They start from the back, they go in midfield, they go wide. And the reason they have to bring back Lahm to the right back, that's his position. Lahm is the number two. He's not a midfielder. Lahm is the number two. So they find out the youngest upcoming best midfielder in the world today is Pogba. That boy was playing midfield for France. He's regarded as the next Patrick Vieira. So German thought, no, this guy is stronger. He's faster than Lahm. So what we'll do is we'll bring Lahm wide, then bring Kroos back in midfield with a body structure that they can defend. I think the first half, France had so many chances, they didn't convert, they paid the price. But unfortunately, they was playing the best team in the world. And the last thing is, France didn't make the group stage last year, the last World Cup. So, okay. Me, I'm thinking, okay, they qualified to the last 16, so the job was done. And the coach made it so clear before he even went to the World Cup. He said, this is the new look of France. This is the new generation. So just going to the last 16, for France, the job was accomplished. So I'll give them credit for the game they played yesterday. They missed a lot of chances, but German is always going to be German.
Wow. Peter, you've made a very interesting comment or point there. I don't know if you can answer this, anybody, Twambo, Kambo. What seems to be the average age in the French team?
I can check online. Okay.
The average age, that's 26 years old. The oldest player in the French team may be Evra, the number three. But he is capable of doing what a 23 years old cannot do. That's why he was in a team. The rest is young. That Real Madrid defender, the tall guy, young, 23 years old. Pogba, 22, 23 years old. Yes, all those players are 23, 24, 25 years. That's the average French team. So that's the upcoming team. They expect that team to play maybe two more World Cups.
Two more World Cups. They actually looked young to me, Twambo Kambo.
That's a reconstruction team. So when German looked at the construction team, it was just a matter of time. You need body punches. They're going to collapse in the round 12 or round 11. That's what German did to France.
And you're so right, because even this German team that is playing now has been in development for quite a few years.
Exactly.
You know, these guys
That's correct.
You know, they've been playing together. They've been playing these tournaments. They've been playing in these younger teams for their nation. And they're now ready for the big stage. I think this is the missing link in Africa. You know, in Africa, we play names. We don't have a particular program to really bring people through their ranks so that they can, so that they can develop through the years. For us, we're always short-term thinkers, but the Germans, after World Cup 90, they went back to the drawing board and said, okay, total football is not going to work anymore. I mean, people are catching up to our German defense type of play. So how do we change this over the long haul? And so you see them begin to change this style of play. And Jürgen Klinsmann was also very instrumental in changing their mentality from a defensive postured team to more of an attacking team,
But Peter, Twambo mentioned something about us African teams doing better in 2018 in Russia. And based on what we have just said here, yourself, Twambo, and the analysis that Kambo has given about building a team, like you yourself just said, for France to have gone this far, the job was done. What should African teams learn from this, Peter?
Yes, African teams, they need to go back to the roots. Like, you know, Mr. Twambo just said, we need to go back to the roots. We are targets on money. A player, you know, a young player comes up, he plays two games, he scores five goals. Guess what's going to happen? They'll call him for the national team. They'll advertise him to sell him in a country average. That's the end of the story for that child. We got so many good players that are misplaced in countries where they're supposed to groom. I'll give you an example of Ghana, Belgium, Ghana and Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast have a certain solution. They take players to Belgium. All players that you see in the Ivorian national team, they've been through Belgium. All the Ghanaian teams that you've seen, they'll go through Germany. They are youth, they buy them in Germany. They are all over Germany, playing the youth level. So by the time we see them at the World Cup, they already know what's going on. But going back to Africa, we don't have a structure. You know, I will go back to this again. Our structure, like somebody can, in Zambia today, if you go back to Facebook, you see a lot of academy soccer. When you go to that coach, when I go back to Zambia, I say, what's the purpose of this academy? I feel like I ask them difficult questions. I say, what's the philosophy of this academy that you just built? Trust me, I've never got an answer. Because, number one, they don't speak soccer language. They just say, okay, if I form a soccer academy, I'll get a sponsor, then I'll be making money. They don't care about the kids. You have to have a philosophy of an academy like Mr. Taonga, whatever he said. You have to have a philosophy of a team. What's the philosophy of a team? Oh, we have to build basics. All the kids in Zambia, they are playing at the same level, same training, same soccer. If you've seen on Facebook, I see like 110 coaches. They are going to a license. That's the way forward. What they are doing now is a way forward. But trust me, we got 10 years to get to the good level to where we can compete at the highest level. So it's the construction and the philosophy of the academies. We have 200 academies in Zambia. They want sponsors from America to give them balls and shoes. What's that going to help the child? Since the coming of the national team to Tampa, that's the process. That's the thing I'm working with the great Carlo. The soccer development that I've achieved for 10 years in the United States, I want to go back home, table it with them, show them how it works. We already discussed that, and we're going to pick up from the schedule. When we go there, we see everybody doing the same thing. Then somebody will pick it up from there, but somebody has to start the best. Then the best coaches from Europe, they'll pick it up from there.
Yeah, you wanted to say something, Cambo, yeah.
Yes, and I think Peter's right, because when you look, for example, let's look at the Dutch. You know, when you look at Netherlands, they play a certain way, and they teach their kids to play from a very young age Dutch football. Can we say we have what we call Zambian football? The Brazilians have Samba football. You know, the Italians have their Toto football. But what does Zambia have? And I think when we talk about soccer philosophy, I think that also has to say, listen, other places do it this way. This is how we play our game, and nobody can beat us at our game, you know. So, but we need to define what that is, because having a soccer philosophy and having everybody doing the same thing actually has been proven to actually improve soccer standards over the long term.
That's something that I had actually never thought about. Does Zambia have its own style of playing football? That's a good question.
Yeah. It's
that's
the same principle.
To the next level. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Because
you're
like
right.
You are saying, if you look at the Germans, since day one they play the same type of soccer. If you go back to Zambia, the time of Kalu Shabualia, the time of Lucky Nusiska, the time of Timothy Mitwa, the time of Moses Ayers Chikwalakwala, the time of Kenan Sman, those players I'm mentioning, the time of what's this guy, Biswell Pili, the time of Peter Kaumba. Those players I'm mentioning, they are wide players, number 11, number 7. That's the strength of Zambian soccer. Kalu Shabualia was famous by playing wide on the left. That philosophy continued for a long time.
That's why when we went to the Olympics, we managed to beat Italy. We managed to beat Iraq. We beat
a lot of teams.
We lost to Germany. Yes, we had Black and Siska on the right side. We have Kalushabwala on the left side. So the teams is going to start making a strategy over our, okay, they got a very good left winger. Let's defend this. Oh, they got a good right winger. Let's defend this. I promise you, in Zambia, we have very talented kids that can do the same job Great Kalu did, the same job that the Lakim Sisters, the Bizo Piris of this world did. We got same players. We got the same. If we kept that philosophy, we could have been beating teams and we could have been top. Actually, we were the most feared team in Africa, wherever you go.
But you see, Peter, the only reason that worked was because of people like Samuel Zumonjovo, who
said,
you know, we have to develop talent from a very young age. I mean, they identified kids like Kalushabwalia and groomed them to play a certain way. You know, Zoom had his own philosophy of how soccer should be developed. And I think after Zumonjovo, after Chitalu, I think there was that death even in Zambian coaching philosophy that nobody ever picked up on, this is how we should train our guys, this is how we should play, you know?
Yes. So, I'll just bring you back to ZCCM. When there was ZCCM, like me myself, I was groomed up from ZCCM. I cannot lie from that. If I joined when I was playing under 16, I started under 12, picking up those balls at Nkana Stadium. If you put me in a game, I'll do exactly what the other people are doing because we practice the same thing. So growing up through ZCCM, the Zumonjovos, you know, the Alex Cholas, you know, those people, the Godfrey Chitalu, we played the same soccer. You can pick a player from under 16, you put them in the main team, they'll play the same because the philosophy was the same. But after the collapse of, you know, when Chiluba came in and privatized the ZCCM, that was the collapse of soccer in Zambia. It's never been the same. Soccer has moved from Lusaka, from Copper Belt to Lusaka Academies. All these Sambalungos, all these, the players that you know today, they come from the academies of Lusaka. But guess what? It's one pick at a time because there is no philosophy in the academies today. That was a good point, yes.
So then, Peter Kambo and everybody here, so then it means that the argument that some of us have been having about our soccer, developing our soccer system in our country and Africa for that matter, the expatriate coach doesn't help.
Right.
No, not at all. And that is usually our cry, especially as African teams, not just Zambia. Is if the team is doing not doing so well, then the answer is, oh, we need an expat coach. And I don't think that is the answer. I think how he has explained the fact that there is no philosophy, an expat coach is not going to come in. I mean, maybe that's why we even cry for an expat coach, is then they can come in with their own philosophy and it works for a while. But then as, say, a Zambian team, there is no underlying our own Zambian philosophy that we have that we can follow, no matter who the coach is.
Interesting. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. This is World Cup Roundup. In 12 minutes' time will be our friends from Young African Leadership Initiative who are undergoing a Washington Fellowship training program across the United States. These are young leaders who came from different countries in Africa, including a Zambian delegation. Isaac Mwanza Chwala Lungu Mutoni will be joining us to discuss a few things here and there. Those of you that are able to join us, please do so. It will be interesting. There's an article which is saying U.S. Yali Program, A Demon Facing Africa. Very interesting article there, worthy of looking at. Tambo, I'm going to send this to you so that you look at it and see if you can join us in this discussion. Okay, now let's go to today's game, okay? One of the games that's about to start in a few moments here, not long from now. Today's games, we have, let me leave the best for last. Okay, even the Argentina, for me, Netherlands is the team in this tournament. I'm just obsessed with that, I don't know. Belgium, Argentina. Kambo, Belgium, Argentina.
Eesh, this one is a tough one. Here's the thing. If Belgium comes out and they're not intimidated by the name of Argentina, I think they have a more than a fair chance to win this game. Argentina
okay.
really has to come out and, you see, because what happened with Argentina the last game was that Messi has been their creator, and he's been creating so many balls for them, so many chances for them, but nobody is at the end of those chances that can really execute. You know, if the roles were flipped, where Messi was the recipient of at least a majority of those, you would see more shots on goal and more chances to score. So Argentina really needs to bring in, you know, Di Maria has to play better. He's been playing way better for his club than he has been for his team. You know, he has to step up to the plate. He really has to be that person that really helps out Messi. Zabaleta needs to be running his overlaps. He really needs to be bringing in the balls. He's done well for his club. He can do it. The Argentine team is good. They're good on
okay.
paper. They haven't just ticked. I think Belgium has a real good chance. But, of course, my money is on Argentina.
Okay. Twambo, Argentina versus Belgium.
I'm going to have to go with Belgium on this one. I mean, Messi is really, really good, or Menchi, as you call him, is really, really good. But I think Belgium play well together as a team, and I'm hoping that, they go through with this one. So my money is on Belgium for this one. And then for Netherlands, Costa Rica, I mean, the Netherlands are good, but ever since that, you know, diving incident, I'm for the underdog in this one. Yeah, he died.
No, he didn't. That was a fair call. That was a fair penalty.
Okay. Before we even go any further, Rapita, did he die or it was a good call?
That was the obstruction of play. That's a foul. That was even supposed to be a yellow card. I don't know if they gave him a yellow card.
I don't think they did.
Yeah,
thought it was a foul, even myself. He did.
Yeah, that's a clear foul, obstruction of play. When you go to the picture, you see Marcus' foot in front of Robin's foot while the ball is gone. That's an obstruction of play. That's why they call the 18 area, that's a danger zone. You don't
that's
touch
That's a danger
nobody.
Zone.
Yes. That's a danger zone. That's why it's called the danger zone.
Before we continue, we have 7 minutes here. Before we switch subjects to another topic, let's say good morning to Mr. Mapalo. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. How are you?
Are you following our World Cup discussion here?
Yes, I am.
So do you think that was a foul? That was a good call for the Netherlands?
No, no, actually, I don't. And in fact, I really regarded Robin with very high esteem. But he himself admitted that he dived, but he didn't dive for a penalty. So if you in the 18 area, what are you diving for?
I didn't dive for a penalty.
Yeah, that's what he said. He admitted that he dived, but he didn't dive for a penalty. So if you dive in the 18 area, what are you diving for?
Okay. Well, we're running out of time here, but we still have 6 minutes, and I want us also to look at the Netherlands-Costa Rica game. Next week, Lapita, we have a Zambian who traveled to Brazil and is there in Brazil. He's been attending, he's in the action whilst all this thing is going on, Campbell. So he has agreed to be on the show next Saturday. We are going to speak to this Zambian guy who's right there in Brazil. I want him, Twambo, to give us first-hand information how it feels to be in that World Cup
atmosphere,
especially in Brazil.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to talking to this guy. If I mention his name, some of you know him, but I'll keep it a secret for now so that we don't give away the good news for the best time. So that's
right.
What is going to happen here. Yeah, exactly. Okay. You guys have done a good job. I appreciate everybody taking the time to do this. We have a few minutes here, and before we go to the next show, Twambo, Costa Rica, Netherlands, what's your prediction?
Wow, this one, I'm actually not sure. I would say that Netherlands would probably take this one, though Costa Rica is my favorite team of the two. Costa Rica has really been a nice surprise this World Cup, and I really, really hope that they can continue on because, you know, they're a small country, but they've been really, really nice and surprising with the football that they've played. So even though I have a feeling that Netherlands would take it, I still support Costa Rica.
Excellent. Cambo, Costa Rica, Netherlands?
Costa Rica will play well. They're going to come out fighting, but they will have to bow to the orange. They will die. They will have to go. Netherlands
will have to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Matilda, Costa Rica, Netherlands?
I have not seen Costa Rica play. I don't know how, because I was working most of the times when they were playing. But if Costa Rica puts up a fight like Mexico did, they might have a chance. They have the advantage of more or less being, you know, close to home ground advantage. But, you know, Netherlands is a very strong team. And even the last time we did predictions, I went for Netherlands. It's going to be 2-1. Don't ask me who's getting two, who's getting one. That's
yeah,
2-1. That's my prediction right there.
Okay. Should we call it prophetic insight?
Okay. Patrick, Costa Rica, and
Costa Rica, Netherlands. Costa Rica beat Mexico in the qualifier, 2-1 in Mexico. Mm-hmm. They nearly beat the U.S. here in Colorado. They played under very difficult conditions in snow. They were not used to those conditions. And going by how they are playing, they were going to put up a very good fight. They play as a team. Netherlands is based on individual skills. So I'm just going to say this might end up in 1-1, and they might go into extra time.
Extra time. Okay. But Peter, finally, Costa Rica, Netherlands.
I'll go back to the bookmakers. Costa Rica have done the job. Congratulations. You went through to the quarterfinals. Good surprise. Thank you very much. Holland qualifies, goes to the semifinal. Argentina goes to the semifinal. Brazil goes to the semifinal. That's what I predict, and that's what's going to be.
Thank you, everybody, and you've done a good job. I've enjoyed this. Cambo, my good friend, thanks for coming. Twambo up there in Germany, I know it's late for you. Enjoy the game. And,
thank you.
Peter, my goodness, you have no idea how much you are making this more exciting. Patrick, please, everybody, if you are able to stay for my next discussion with the next group of guys, young African leaders who have come to America for training. They'll be calling in and we're going to have a great discussion. Next week, we are going to Brazil and we are going to talk to a Zambian who is enjoying the World Cup. Let's all call back right now.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Everyone's watching. You know it's serious. We're getting closer. This isn't over. The pressure's on.